Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is true and that it has all of the answers for life and godliness. Lord, you've called us to glory and virtue. You've called us and made us your own. And your divine power is really what we seek to know, receive, believe, and walk in. And we ask you to help us today as we study the word. We pray for the counselor, helper, paraclete, for we need you. And I ask tonight that you would teach your people really where your feet are at, how we can see your feet and follow you, and that we would be your sheep, your sheeple. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, 2 Kings 3, in a Bible study entitled, God is for Us. Now, if you don't get anything else out of tonight, so you got to get that part. God is for us. Now, I'll step upon the rock and I'll add my part to it. This I know. God is for us. Okay? I know that. Now, how do I know that? Well, 2 Kings 3, Joram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. So remember, this is the second son of Ahab who is now ruling and reigning. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father or mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Now, we enter into this study tonight in a somewhat of an observation, but I cannot have you take yourself out of this section of Scripture, okay? Because we're more like Joram than we'd like to admit, okay? And show you in just a bit just how much we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as bad as mom and dad. I mean, this, again, as I work with people, this many times is the answer that some give. I'm not going to be like my father, or I'm not going to be like my mother. Yet they never are born again. You notice he puts away the obvious idol, the sacred pillar of Baal. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin. He did not depart from them. Now, Mesha, the king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. That is an incredible tribute to pay another nation. So at the dying of Ahab, Moab's going to try to get free from Israel. Now, it happened in the days of Ahab's first son, and now Joram's going to do something about it. It happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horse, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Now we enter into the study tonight, and I want to stir you up. So find a way to Romans 8, because we need to be stirred up. Why? Well, how many of us have gotten into a venture that, like Joram, we're going to go do this and we'll pray for God to bless the decision later? Or we know what to do up until things look troubling. Romans 8, okay? And we need to pick a bit of this up, and I don't want to, I'm not going to study Romans 8, but enough to get us onto this. Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I'll just put right here for you, biblical decision making. That's the Holy Spirit. You decide that. I've decided that years ago. When I am going to make decisions, right, which way do we go? Well, let's go this way. How did you know to go that way? I just did what I wanted to do. Now, most Christians won't really tell you that. But that's how Joram is making a decision. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, that's for everyone who's born again. This is not how well you walk in the Spirit. This is not how poorly you walk in the Spirit. This is the identification of those who are regenerated. We're in the Spirit, okay? The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, keep your finger there, and I need you to go back now, and we're going to look at the difference between 2 Kings 3:10 and 2 Kings 3:11. So, long way around, 7 days, you're expecting to find water in that stream that's there, only the stream is dried up. No water, okay? And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." 2 Kings 3:10, this godly, carnal king, right? He's not godly. Carnal mind. And you get into something, and where do you go? Oh, God is against me. It's not working. My plan, it's failing. Oh no, we're going to die. That's King Joram. Verse 11, "But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?'" Now, in that contrast, now take the route back to Romans 8. Now, the unflattering truth about us as believers, we're more like King Joram than we know. We start on something, we're doing something, or we're in a venture and things don't go well for us. And immediately we think, God must be against this. Okay, so let's figure this part out. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. So then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you receive the spirit of adoption by we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs together with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, back to this tonight in a Bible study entitled, God is for us. Okay, King Joram is absolutely convinced that God is against them. He even uses the name Yahweh, or Yehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He doesn't know him by name, but he knows his name. The Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of men. But Jehoshaphat said, no, this I know, God is for us. So as you enter into sufferings, okay, what do you know? God is for us. But what if it was from a really bad or really dangerous, really dumb decision, as we might say? God is still for us. Okay? Now, I don't know if anybody said to him, let's not go that way. Or, that's a great idea, let's go that way. Okay? I think we all fit into this Bible study somewhere tonight. But not having the carnal mind, you will not find King Joram recovering. You will find King Jehoshaphat immediately says, wait a minute, God is for us. When you know that God is for you, this is the next action. And here's where you start your application. Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Is there a word from the Lord? Okay. I got into this, I made a biblical decision, and now it's not working the way I thought it would work. My life is falling apart. Okay. Whatever, fill in the blank it might be. Yeah. One of the guys came up and talked with me today and said, hey, I'm kind of bumming about this. I said, what, did you lose your job? I mean, you know, what is it? And, you know, I know where this Bible study's already going tonight. What would be the worst news that you could have that day would actually, you'd say, well, I think God is against me. See, that's satanic. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Back to Romans 8, and where I get the title from tonight. 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's where I get the title. So I'm just taking the question, because it's a rhetorical one, the way it's written in Romans 8, and it's written this way, God is for us. Jehoshaphat, what's he saying to Joram? God is for us. Yeah. Anybody in a tight squeeze tonight? Tribulation? Now, glance ahead to 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall the Moabites separate us from the love of Christ? Well, look at these. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. So, Joram's already defeated. Jehoshaphat is an overcomer. Going to introduce here a typology for you. In this context, okay, in this context, Elisha becomes a type of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying he's the Holy Spirit. I'm saying typologies. Now, when he picked up that mantle and he put on display that the power of God is upon him, likewise, therefore, you can apply Romans 8 living instead of Romans 7 living. Because now into this Romans 8 living, you might find that you are more defeated in your carnal mind as a Christian than you ought to be. Oh no, God, this isn't going to work. Oh no, it's going to fall apart. Okay, and no, I wasn't following any of you around today. So, is there no prophet that we may inquire of the Lord? Here you put prayer and waiting upon God, the Holy Spirit, a word from the Lord. Gifts of prophecy in those situations. Is there a word from the Lord over what situation I now got into? What does God say about this? So one of the servants of the king of Israel, so this is back to 2 Kings 3:11, one of the servants of the kings of Israel answered and said, Elisha the son of Shaphat is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, why is he a type of the Holy Spirit? Because this is what I like about this. When Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to us, he said, he will always be with you. As I was with you, he will be with you. He is your paraclete, your advocate, the one alongside you. Now, I don't know how Elisha got there, but he's there. That's just that straightforward. So then you can hold for yourself, God is for me, the Holy Spirit is always with me. That means that I will never find myself in such a situation where I will be outside of God's help. So I've been instructing us to look up. God will help you. And you might find that you're not doing very good at that. That as you peruse into the day and you get this plan, and I've got this 7-day plan to sneak up on the Moabites and we're going to overtake them and win, only to find out that all of your great planning has left you dying of thirst and in danger of being captured by the enemy, if I can let you apply that in your own personal life. And I just remind you, God is for you. You need to hear this tonight because it's true. So here, Elisha being a type of the Holy Spirit, again, I like it because he's identified here as the servant, the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Okay. What did Jesus say? Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, I will send you another helper. Okay. One just like me. Jesus is a servant who washed the feet. Jesus is a servant. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, again, since he doesn't testify of himself, he is the servant in many places. But for us, this applies very well as you walk in Romans 8 living, that whatever you find yourself into, whatever suffering you may be in, whatever tribulation, you know, peril, whatever sword, whatever circumstance, the Holy Spirit's with you. Now, Joseph had said, the word of the Lord is with him. Now, how do you count the gifts of the Spirit? Well, I count the gifts of the Spirit that are needed, you know, coveting the best gifts. Okay. When you're in a situation, the best gift would be a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or a word of prophecy. I can't see my way out of this. I've got myself into some serious trouble this time. Oh no, I'm going to die. I don't know if you go that far. But that's where Joram is at. The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now, there in verse 12, just right here, the whole thing of Romans 8, being a child of God, he knows you by name. You're his own. Jehoshaphat. You'll notice king of Israel is unnamed. King of Edom is unnamed, but Jehoshaphat is known. What is the whole thing? Abba, Father? I mean, do you have to reintroduce yourself to the Holy Spirit every morning in prayer and reacquaint yourself and tell him that you're here? Or can you enter right into an intimate relationship? So, Jehoshaphat is by name, again, child of God. Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and your prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Okay. Now back to Romans 8. And I'm going to repeat for you. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Okay. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How many times are we Joram and we're saying, no, God is against me? And we become feelings-based, even though we know we're not supposed to be feelings-based. Even though we know that the feelings that we have don't tell the truth. Yeah. Not to put words into Joram's mouth, but I think it's worthy to say it. No, I feel like the Lord is against me. Okay? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So I know that God is for us. Therefore, these three kings that have gathered together, God is going to do something miraculous to rescue his children from trouble. Okay? I know one person that's thinking like that in this story. Now back to 2 Kings 3. 2 Kings 3:14. I like Elisha's answer. Joram's like, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them from the hand of Moab. He just scratched Romans 8:28 from your Bible. There is no situation that you can get in, no circumstance. Even if you got there because of disobedience and sin, there is absolutely nothing you can get into that you could honestly say, no, the Lord did this to me and now he's against me after all that I've done. Okay? This I know, that God is for us. So, it's like a well-driven nail tonight. So you got to get that thought in your mind. I can go into every circumstance because this I know, that God is for us. Okay, 2 Kings 3:14. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand. So, Joram, you are not God's spokesman. The devil will always misrepresent God to you in warfare. He's a deceiver. He masquerades. He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Joram, he's speaking for the Lord. And what's Elisha say? I serve the Lord of hosts. I stand before him. Surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. No. So all the wisdom of the world produces what? Now, I'm going to take you back to Romans 8. And because it's the Spirit who searches these things out. Okay? It's the Spirit of God that does these things. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans 8:15. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. If any of you parents in here and one of your kids was in trouble and they were crying out to you, what would you do? This is the context. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay. Now, at danger of teaching Romans 8 tonight, let's get back to 2 Kings 3. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. This is why I say Elisha is a type of the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand this. The Holy Spirit is given. The gifts are given. Holy Spirit lives within. We teach and practice the baptism with the Holy Spirit and those giving of those gifts, the power. The manifestation of those gifts demonstrate that the power, we could honestly say this is a word of prophecy. Okay. Thus says the Lord. And again, it's instructional. Make this valley full of ditches. You don't understand. We're in trouble. We're thirsty. It's hot. What do you mean there's going to be rain and or water and yet no rain? And then he says, simple matter for in the sight of the Lord. Now, I believe God's giving his answer to Joram. Yeah. And right here, I want you to understand this. Romans 8 is there so you will believe that anything that I get into, in fact, God will lead me into some of them, and they will be beyond me, and I won't know how to pray. I won't be able to see the good in it. I won't know what the outcome will be. And yet, it's a simple matter for God, but for me, it's impossible to change the situation. And he's called upon, right, to believe and trust. So this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. And you shall attack every fortified city, every choice city, shall cut down every good tree, stop up every spring of water, ruin every good piece of land with stones. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom and the land was filled with water. Now, not an unusual thing when it rains down in that part of the desert and it can rain far, far away and all of a sudden the water rushes down. And, well, do you believe the word of the Lord? That's, put it together. Jehoshaphat, we're going to inquire of the Lord, and when the Lord gives the answer, were it not because of Jehoshaphat, this chapter wouldn't be in the Bible. Let's seek the Lord. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning. The sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. So did they dig the ditches? Okay. Now, you get into every circumstance, and if you will remind yourself tonight, this I know, God is for me. Okay? This I know, God is for us. So whatever he says to you is far more important than anything you're feeling, thinking, worried, whatever the circumstances may look like. This I know, God is for me. They obviously dug the ditches. It's filled with water. Now the Moabites see it red as blood. And they said, this is the blood. The king surely have struck swords, have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, and they fled before them, and they entered the land, killing the Moabites. They destroyed the cities. Each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it, and they stopped up all the springs of water, cut down all the good trees, but they left the stones at Kir Hareseth intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it, And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned on in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, so they departed from him and returned to their own land. Now, I'm going to take us now back to Romans 8. And we're going to go into chapter 4 tonight with Romans 8. 35 is our guide. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay. Now, you may find that Christians living in 2026 in the midst of this world with all of the information, knowledge of man, social media, you know, you go right through the list. TikTok, shorts, what do they call them? And everybody's got these little videos. Everybody's got these ideas. Okay, you may find that you are being exercised to prepare for a carnal mind that will respond accordingly rather than the spiritual mind. In fact, you might find that the key is missing. And so we got to restore it tonight. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says in 38, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, okay, so right there, that's your victory over Satan, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You have to worry about the future. Okay. You've heard the phrase, when it rains, it pours. Don't be surprised that once you start onto this and something seemingly what we would call bad happens, and all of a sudden, and then you get like three or four of those. Okay. And you're like, oh no, my life is falling apart. Quite the opposite. You're like, I need to inquire of the Holy Spirit and I need to seek Him because He's on the move. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the trouble continues into chapter 4. Or the trouble continues into your life. The sufferings of Christ are the will of God for your life. Chapter 4, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. So here's the question, shall death be able to separate? So this woman finds herself now as a widow, but he served God. How could God take him? And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Not only is she a widow, she's soon to be without hope, and she is soon to be childless. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Now, notice where she turned. Again, tonight as we're studying, Elisha's a type of the Holy Spirit. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? So anybody need a paraclete when a spouse dies? Right? Or a mom, or a dad, or a friend? Anybody need a paraclete when it looks like I got to file bankruptcy? Or I'm being sued? Okay. or whatever else the report might be. Oh, I got a report from my doctor that I need open heart surgery. Oh, I got a report from the doctor that I've got cancer. Oh, I've got a report from the doctor that I have organ failure. I mean, this part here, Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors. Empty vessels do not gather just a few." Now, I haven't talked about it much lately, but I'm going to stir it back up. Abundant church. Now, the truth that we don't like to admit is that the abundance of sufferings is exactly the opportunity that God wants to bring forth an abundance. So remember this tonight. God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. The instruction was, dig the ditches, because they could do that for themselves. They just couldn't make the water appear. Okay? Likewise here, she can gather all these vessels. That's her part. Okay? Now, what can't she do? She can't fill all these vessels. Now, is the Christian life a supernatural life? This is what's being revealed in 2 Kings 3 and 4. It's the mighty working power of God upon Elijah to meet the needs of God's people. And as I introduce the Holy Spirit in this way to you, that he is the one who helps in our weaknesses, for we do not even know what we are to pray for as we ought. I'm fairly certain this woman had to come to this point. Where do I turn? What do I do? What do I? And she turns to Elisha. Jehoshaphat turns to Elisha. Okay? This woman turns to Elisha. This is why he's a type of the Holy Spirit in this section. And when you have come in, verse 4, you shall shut the door behind you, and you and your sons, then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from behind him and shut the door behind her and her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Yeah, I'll just say here, when you're told to go into your secret place and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father in secret will reward you openly. You'll notice Elisha's not there. This is her knowing the power of God. Her and her boys are going to know that they cannot be separated from the love of God, that death does not separate them from the love of God. Now, in the New Testament, we'd say, in Christ Jesus. Okay? I think that's the point. Came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Now, I don't know if you can imagine that. This just pouring. And this is the part that this is God. So she could not do that. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest." So, verse 8, now it happened one day when Elisha went to Shunem, there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, a table, a chair, a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in here." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you?'" Don't forget this part about your relationship with God. God is not unfaithful to remember your labor of love. Okay? The good works that you have shown to others. Again, it's a great picture here. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, no, I dwell amongst my own people. So we said, well, what can be done for her? Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway and he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Revealing, she probably had wanted a son for a long time and did not receive. You have Hannah, right? I mean, you have this for a long time. And now, she's at the point where she says, do not lie to your servant. Or we might say, that's too good to be true. But the woman conceived and bore a son at the appointed time had come in which Elisha had told her. The child grew. Now it happened one day, went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then she died. And she went up and laid him on the bed and of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by his feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Now, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Shall death separate? Now, in this distress of soul, I like what Elisha says here. He says, she's in deep distress and the Lord has hidden up from me and he has not told me. I'm usually the other way around. I get excited when the Lord does reveal something to me. And here Elisha, this one thing is hidden from him. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And now you see this deep distress. God gave her something she did not ask for, and now it's been taken away. And she says, this is what I was talking about. And now my son has died. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready, take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anybody, don't greet him. Anyone greets you, do not answer him. Lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Do you remember when Elisha was with Elijah? And those are his words. Okay? Those are his words that he used and says, I mean, everything that she's done, how she invited Elijah into their house and everything that they did and then what God had done. And this is that statement. I trust God. Right? And you have to lay this forth. This is what Romans 8 is about. Maybe you are the one saying for another, this I know that God is for you. Maybe you're the one needing to comfort another who's in deep distress of soul. And all you're working with them is to hang on to the Lord. So she uses his exact words, I am not leaving you. So she arose and he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them, laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him, and he said, the child has not awakened. So it's not the authority, okay? You know, that staff, a picture of the ruling and authority that Elisha had. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. So 2 Kings 4:33, your prayer closet should produce all manner of fervent prayer. Now, not every day is like that, but you have to have a prayer closet so that when one is in deep distress, or one that you know and love is in deep distress, that you have a place where you can shut the door behind you and you can have fervent prayer. Now, this I know, as I talk about that some of you are already going to come under condemnation over that statement. So Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So this I know, that God is for us. And it might be tonight that 2 Kings 4:33 is you establishing your secret closet door shutting space behind, and you pray to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, eyes on his eyes, hands on his hands, stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and went again up and stretched himself out on him. And then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. And he called her and said, and she came to him. He said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground, picked up her son, and went out. Now, this is why Elisha is a type of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of healings, gifts of miracles. They're all upon Elisha's life. In fact, as you count them, 8 miracles are attributed to Elijah, and 16 are attributed to Elisha while he's alive. And then there's this unusual one that even his bones bring somebody back from the dead. You know, the double portion. Now, this part of how the Holy Spirit helps, and this power of God to raise the dead. Now, back to Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake all we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And here you have a type of the resurrection from the dead. So it was the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power of God is at work in us who believe. Now, if I could convince you tonight just how much you need the paraclete and just how much you need the power of the Holy Spirit into your walk in daily life. If you don't walk in that in daily life, you will never be ready when trouble comes. Second Kings 4:38. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was famine in the land. Now, shall famine be able to separate us? Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servants, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field, gathered herbs, and found a wild vine, gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat it. So he said, bring some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now, shall famine be able to separate us? Shall death be able to separate us? Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread. Again, when you think of loaves there, think more like a bun, not like this long French, bread loaf. Newly ripened in his knapsack, he says, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what, shall I set this before 100 men? It's like bringing out a dozen of hamburger buns and thinking it's going to feed 100 men. Give it to the people that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he set it before them, they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Now, where this brings us tonight is exactly where I want this to be for us. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you know that all this distress, trouble, tribulations, and things that are going on is exactly where God wants us to be at? And you might be the only believer in that whole mix of who's ever in that trouble who will seek God and pray and do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Now, do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit that they are for today? Or do you have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof? Now, I too would love to see the power of God at work like this all the time. The needs are great. But what are you learning? Well, what I'm learning is that God is working in us that we would seek him in that way and that we would learn and grow in prayer and gifts and power of the Holy Spirit, that would be upon our lives. So we're going to enter into a time of afterglow tonight. Okay? And take that first time to repent of whatever you need to repent of concerning your view of God and your view of the Holy Spirit and your view of trials. And between you and God, wait upon him till you're thoroughly convinced that God is for us and that you can then apply it personally. God is for me. Okay, so you can come up and get the guitar ready and you would be thoroughly convinced, persuaded. And maybe you can recount some of the recent sufferings you've gone through. Maybe you've suffered some loss. Maybe you've been watching this and I got to pay for this. And now I got to pay for this. And I got to pay for this. I didn't. And it might be you're watching all these things go on in your life. Or you might have heard a report for yourself personally or one that you love. So that part of just securing that, I know that God is for me. Okay, and then, after that, we're going to pray and wait upon the Lord. And we're going to give opportunity to receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to earnestly covet the best gifts. Well, sometimes the gift of healing is the best gift in the situation. Right? Other times, a word of prophecy is the best gift in the situation. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to your purpose. Lord, we believe and trust in you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. And we come tonight to be persuaded that you, God, are not against us. As your children, God, you are for us. You've given us your Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And tonight we cry out to our Abba Father for all the help that we, your children, need. And I ask that you would do that which we cannot do for ourselves, and that you would reveal the mighty working power of God by the Holy Spirit is available to us. And we wait upon you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.